if do we have a plan? How do we pray? How do we plan to pray? Okay.
Anybody
can answer that question. Okay, it doesn't have to come from the panel.
Praise the Lord. I think for me, I had that question before, where it felt so overwhelming with so many things to pray for, and I didn't know where to start, you know? And I'm like, do I pray for all of these things in like one day? It's gonna take me the whole day just to pray for like all the things I need to pray for. But like really, I realized that prayer is a conversation with God. So like just like you have a conversation with a normal human being, you can tell God anything. And God, as you continue to speak to God, God will prompt in your spirit what to pray for. Like it's like a conversation flow. So as you're talking to God, God is speaking back to you and you're hearing him, you're hearing the things that he wants you to pray for, like his heart desires. And you start praying for those things. And you see, as the more that you pray for them, then the more the prayer topics come. It doesn't end. There's always a lot to pray for. So,
thank you, Sister Ada.
I would just like to add something to that as well. I think you touch on it very well, that prayer really is a communication. So, Ugo, when you're thinking about what do I pray for, how do I begin, number one, really, it starts from what you know about God, right? Start from the Word of God, knowing exactly what God is communicating to you. And even if you take it away from just the Word of God, looking at your interests. So, for example, you wake up in the morning, you're about to go to work. Really having a conversation with God, Father, thank you for this job that I have, right? Thank you that you've provided for me, and I'm going to go to work. Thank you that you said everything that I put my hands on is going to prosper. So you start that conversation, but you see how it's all directed through the Word of God. And then as you start doing that, you start to see that your relationship is opening up. Your heart is even opening up more to kind of talk about more things. And then you kind of hear also God talking to you. So to how do you pray really is not, or how do you go about praying? It's not just looking at what people are doing and saying that, okay, it's good to pray for the church, it's good to pray for the nations. But you really start from yourself, you start from within. You know, what are some of the things that are pressing on your heart? And you start discussing those things, starting with simple scriptures that can back those things up and make that a conversation point, right? Father, you said that if you bless the way of the righteous. Thank you. As I'm going to work, my way is blessed. Kind of like that. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Brother Mike. Any other question?
I just like to say, don't be shy. I know that it's kind of it might be intimidating, but really, we just also want to hear from you as well. So, and also your questions that you are asking can also help other people. We are really trying to sharpen each other here. So, feel free, be comfortable, and we will all address it as a group, as one body.
And also, please, if you don't want to be heard, you can write down your questions. And we'll take it from you and address it. Amen? Because some people would like to be anonymous. We talked about this, you know, during our meeting. Sorry, Chigozie.
Right, Chigozie, you have 1 minute. Don't forget. Thank you. 2 minutes.
Praise God. I just want you guys to share more light on prayer of agreement.
So, can you be specific? What about prayer of agreement?
In regards to anything, like, when you want to like agree with somebody on prayer, like what are the advantage? What are the advantage of it? Like what's the reason behind doing it?
Pastor Mano will answer that for you. Address that.
Thank you, Pastor.
He's our lifeline. He's our lifeline.
You are our lifeline, so we'll let you address that one.
Number one is it has the same advantage as any prayer you say. It will give you the same thing. God answers what? Prayer. So that's one of the prayers of the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is teaching the church to pray. Prayer of agreement, you need to follow the instructions there. You don't just go and see somebody and say, agree with me, when you have not prayed. That's what people do. They say, I'm going for an interview, please agree with me, I'll get the job. He said, I agree with you. That's not prayer of agreement, because there hasn't been any prayer said. If you haven't prayed, you can't call it prayer. So you can't keep going around and say, agree with me, or brush me. I have interview tomorrow. Can you agree with me? They say, I agree with you. That's not prayer. First of all, there has to be prayer. Before you call it what? Prayer. It's called prayer of. So there has to be prayer. You have to pray. If you haven't prayed, it's not prayer. Agree with me, I agree with you. On what basis? There's no scripture that says that. The Bible says, if two of you shall agree on earth as regards to what? Anything quit they will ask. So there should be asking. There has to be asking. And then you know what you are asking about. So two of you must know what you are asking about. And when you want to pray for a prayer for agreement, it's always very good to go back to the scripture. Don't do things on assumption. It's good to call whoever you think both of you want to do that prayer, to go back to the scripture and renew your understanding how the Holy Spirit laid it out. Are you getting my point? So it's always good. And not only prayer of agreement, it's always good to go back to the scripture if you want to pray really and refresh your mind of what the Holy Spirit instructs you to do, so that you make sure that what you are doing is correct. Because sometimes we forget some elements of what God said. And once you miss a link, you miss it. So there has to be, number one, if two of you shall agree as concerning anything, quit they shall ask. Quit means two of you must what? Ask for something. So if I tell you to come and let us pray prayer of agreement that I will marry another woman, will you do that? Okay. So you see, there, we have to discuss it what? First. To be sure that what we're asking, you agree. Because I can throw something at you out of being nice, my mind may not accept it, and they said, "You okay? Let us pray." But I don't agree with you. And sometimes my faith will not carry it. I'm like, "Wow!" So you need to really share the point, and the two of you agree, talk about it, and make sure that you are in agreement that this is what God can do. Then you two of you now ask. It's better that one person praise so that the other is what? Listening. To know whether you agree with this thing. If you don't agree, tell the person, "I don't." So let's redo it again. There's no shame in it. Because if you don't agree, you simply don't agree. This is not emotional nonsense. You have to be real. And say, "Bro, this way you pray, this is my, I don't understand it too." Because you want me to agree with you. "Yeah, I want to understand it." And then you can say, "Okay, this is what I have in mind. Oh, okay, now I understand what you are talking about. Now let us now pray." You want to make sure that two of you really are in agreement all the way through. Wherever you don't have agreement, don't feel it is wrong to say, "I heard your prayer, but I have some concerns about this." You are being sincere. Because if you live there with that concern, you didn't agree with him. You didn't agree. So it's always good to make sure that you express your concern. So two of you address it again until you have agreement. Then you can say, "Okay, fine, I'm comfortable with this thing. Now I understand what you are talking about." Now you pray. I always say, one person pray, the other person is listening. So when you finish, you can now say, "Amen." And the agreement is, do you believe that God has answered? Remember, if two of you shall agree as concerning anything. So what is it that concerning this thing we're asking, we agree? That God has what? Come on now. That God has what? So if we agree that God has answered, then we thank God together and say, "Lord, according to the word, we have asked and we agree that you have answered." When somebody asks me, "What do you agree as concerning this thing you asked?" What we agree concerning it is that God has answered. So there has to be something we agree concerning it. God has answered it. And then two of us can now thank God for it. But remember that if you step out here, Jesus is in that agreement. Because that's his word. If any of you goes out and start praying on that thing again, you break the agreement. So you need to make sure that the person you are doing this thing with understands very, very well how to walk in faith.
Praise God. Pastor, I just want to say something about what
What's your question?
You have answered my question, but you said something like, if the other person step out, I mean, I prayed again, he has nullified the
prayer. Instant. So, yeah, the agreement is no more Because what we agreed as concerning that thing is that God has what? Now he steps out and starts praying for the same thing for which we told God we have agreed, we have answered. Is he still in agreement? I'm asking.
No, sir.
Huh?
No, sir.
Huh?
No, sir.
Why is he not in agreement?
Because he went ahead and prayed it.
Yeah. If he goes out and says, Lord, we agreed on this and I give you thanks, then he's still in that agreement. But if he goes out after telling his brother or sister that what we agree concerning this that we have asked is that God has what? Answered. And he goes out and says, bros me, can we pray about so-so? I prayed with sister so-so yesterday. Can you join us in prayer? The Lord is good. I start asking again, what happened to the thing you agreed concerning it? Haven't you broken it already? Huh?
Thank you, Pastor.
It's English now.
Pastor.
Huh?
Yes.
Huh? Huh? Because yesterday he said God has what?
Follow.
But today he's praying again. If God has answered, why are you praying again? So it's out of agreement. This is a prayer. I tell people this is not religious stuff. You got to sit down and go through scripture and make sure the person you are praying with really understands and has faith to carry that thing. If he doesn't, find somebody who has. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, Pastor.
Huh?
Yes, I do.
Huh? Because the devil can come after that prayer, can make things go south. Trying to fight your faith. But you insist that this scripture is here and amen. And you keep thanking God, then the agreement stands. The Bible says, if two of you shall agree as concerned, anything which they shall ask on earth, he said, it shall be what? It shall be what?
Done
of our Father. So as long as that agreement stands, that thing is God will do it. But if that agreement doesn't stand, you repudiate it. And you repudiate the scripture. It didn't work according to the scripture. Do you have another question?
No, Pastor.
Okay.
No,
Pastor. I have a question.
Pastor, thank you, sir.
Yes.
On this one?
Maybe.
I'm not the only one here.
I know. Where he says, it's so loud. Where he says, ask until your joy is full.
I didn't hear you.
There's a place in the scripture where it says to continue to ask till your joy.
Where did he say continue to ask? I want to see.
He says that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full.
Why did he say continue to ask?
No, it says.
Which scripture?
Yeah, I can't find it.
He said, ask and you shall receive so that your joy.
Yeah.
You are quoting half. It's not what the scripture didn't say.
I'm
continue
gonna
to
find,
ask. So your
I'm
joy
gonna
shall
find.
Be
full. I'm gonna find it.
Huh? Continue to ask so your joy before. I don't know why it is.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
But
do
I'm
we...
the only one in front of you.
Pastor, sir.
Praise God.
I can't
in a perfect place.
Sorry. Do we have any other
questions? Yeah, I have a question on that particular thing that Pastor just talked about. What about in Philippians 4 verses 6? It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. And that's really where, like, I'm asking, what does petition mean when we are, when you've agreed with somebody and it's saying, like, if this thing is really on your mind, you petition God for it. What does that mean in prayer of agreements?
Prayer for agreement concerns two. Prayer for petition is you. Like when the scripture says, whatever you desire, when you pray. It says, in that Philippians 4 verse what?
Six.
Read it. So we make sure we're following right. Read it aloud.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God.
So did he say two, there are three?
It doesn't say the number. It doesn't. Oh, present your request.
So
the one
did he mention two people three there?
No, it doesn't.
He's talking to you, talking to me as an individual. Even talking to us as a group. Talking to us in whatever situation you find yourself, either as individual or as a group. He said, if you have this, petition is asking now. Petition is what? Yeah, it's like going to a law court and presenting your case. Present your case before God. Bring it to God. And while we're at it, there are two things you need to understand. The scripture uses the word through prayer supplication. that you're using the translation that calls it petition. Petition, right? Huh? But King James calls it what? Supplication is heartfelt prayer. Where you pray with all your what? All your heart. It's not intense by yelling at people. It's intensity of desire. Intensity of desire that is sincere. Because you can storming all over the place and your mind is in the shop right. It's pray with all your what? Heart. Make sure you have. Some people pray, they don't have a desire. It will surprise you, but that's a fact. When you have intense desire, you will really pray. If you need to pay school fees in the morning and you don't have it and you want to go to Brabo to borrow it, you'll be there 5 a.m. in the morning. Because you have strong desire. And the way you present the case will show really that you are desperate. That's what he's saying. Show God that what? Desperate. If you don't intervene, nobody else. All my faith and confidence is what? Is in you. There's no option here. I don't have option. So you pray with all your heart. But if you don't trust God, you pray with half of your heart. Because while you are praying to God, you are making plan B. Which is where many people are. Does it clear that? Huh?
Yeah, Pastor, I found the place I was looking for. Okay. In John 16:24, the Amplified Version is saying, until now, you have not asked the Father for anything in my name, but now ask and keep on asking. That was my major concern.
So what's the concern there?
The complete verse now says, and you will receive so that your joy may be full and complete. No, because I was more concerned about the keep on asking part.
What is your concern about it?
When because the other version.
Give him a microphone.
The other versions kept out the keep on asking.
I keep it out now. Which version are you taking?
Amplified.
Uh-huh. Amplified simply amplifies words. It gives you different meanings of word. But while we're at it now, some people get confused as to how long they pray. When will I start praying? It's not even an issue at all. There is no scripture that tells you how long you pray. The same thing with fasting. There is no scripture that tells the church how to fast. The Holy Spirit doesn't consider it something to teach us about. There is nowhere the Holy Spirit teaches the church how to pray, how to fast. But it teaches the church how to pray. In fact, we are not even instructed to fast. But he said we should pray. We should study. We should do evangelism. There is no instruction to fast at all. And that's why there is no teaching on the church how to what? Fast. Whether you fast 2 days, 3 days, 6 to 6, 6 to 12, none. And so there is no teaching in the Bible as to how long what? You should pray. The Bible says we don't even know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps what? Our infirmity. It helps all our limitations. So prayer, the most effective prayer is the prayer that is inspired and led by the Spirit of God. As you pray, the Spirit should witness to you. I want all of you to listen to me. This is very important. As you pray, the Spirit should witness what? To you. When you should stop. You don't copy somebody and say, because he prays 10 hours, so me too, I'm going to what? You go into works and flesh. So, as you pray, the Spirit will be, you have to, because the Spirit of God is guiding you in all things. The Bible says, in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. Then he will now guide your path. All these things, again, depends on spiritual maturity. There are things you can pray for 5 hours before. Even sometimes, the first 30 minutes, your mind is all over the place. So you can't put time on distance. The first 30 minutes, you haven't even come home. You are still somewhere in Ajegule. In fact, sometimes the first 30 minutes, you are still talking with somebody in the office who did you wrong. You are still wandering all over the office. You haven't even started to pray. So, but you know, when you grow in the Lord and grow spiritually, you can catch your mind quickly and settle it down. Very quickly. Practice what? Yeah, you can get. It's like coming to church. When we come to church, some people, it takes them 1 hour to get in tune with what God is doing. Some people get in tune in 2 minutes. They just come to church. Before you know it, they're tuned up right away. Others are still, you know, 1 hour. Some don't even get in tune and go home. Right? Huh? So the same thing with prayer. When you come to pray, sometimes your mind is still perambulating around, somebody, pushed you off the pathway, and you're still thinking about it. But you are praying, and your mind. In fact, sometimes you are in church, you are praying. Somebody can say, this brother has come back. Wow, I remember. When did he even travel? And you are praying. So what happens is that I always recommend to people to start praying in the spirit. When you pray in the spirit, you quieten yourself down faster. So it might take me 3 minutes, 4 minutes to get down. It might take you five. It might take you 10. If you are serious, you got to make sure that you really, really pray. So as long as it takes you to now focus, concentrate, go ahead and do that. Are you getting my point? So once, and you know, every Christian knows where he's skewed into the spirit. You don't need anybody to tell you. When your mind is, you know it. You don't need anybody. When your mind is not there, you also what? You know it now. You know it now. In fact, sometimes when you pray, you know, you tell yourself, I haven't done the thing the way. Yeah, even when people are praying with you, sometimes you know their mind is not really. It's like, what is going on? Everything is gala, 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 gala. So it takes all different times to settle down to pray. And so we start praying. And then you may not feel satisfied. You may not have that inward witnessing of peace. Which means you need to continue what? To pray. Because there are things we don't know. There are things, and that's part of our infirmity. That the Holy Spirit what? Helps us about. So you continue to pray. Until you have that peace. And when you have it, you don't need any Jupiter to tell you. You know it that this issue is a settled. Even you lose the desire to pray, the anointing to pray lifts up. So you can't put time on it. Again, like I said, the more you mature in dealing with God, the more you can know the mind of God very easily. The more your prayer can even be short. Because some things that will take somebody like 4 hours talking about it, you can talk with God in discussion. It's a matter of developing your faith in simple discussion. And then you hear God about it. Some people are struggling with knowing the voice of some are not. It all depends on practice, and how sensitive you are to the Holy Spirit. Right? You want to add? Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to also add that, you know, if the scripture that you quoted, that was Jesus Christ when he was, you know, talking to the disciples, telling them how he was going to be after he had been glorified. If you start reading from verse 23, he says, and when that time comes, because he used Amplified, you will ask nothing of me. Which means they had always been with him. Whatever they needed, they asked from him because he was right there with them. And then he said, and when that time comes, when is that time?
Now.
That is the era in which we are now because he has been glorified. He said, you will ask nothing of me. You will need to ask me no questions. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name, not from me, because you've always been asking from me, but this time you are now going to ask in my name, because I'm no longer there with you physically, but I am in you as he is in us, because we are children of God, because he promised he will never leave us. And the same love that the Father has for him is the same love that he has for us. So when we come in his name, as we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, which means I come in the place of Jesus. He's my, you know, he's my qualification for standing before you. He said, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name, as representing all that I am. Then up to this time, you have not asked a single thing in my name. You have always been asking from me, but not in my name. Then he now said, yeah, where is it? But now ask and keep on asking, and you will receive, so that your joy, gladness, delight may be full and complete. Which means, just keep going to the Father, asking in my name. Once you get there, Father, in the name of Jesus, he will respond to you. Whatever you need, he will respond to you. Ask in my name, because I am your qualification. And he will respond to you so that your joy might be full, because you don't see me again to ask from me. But just go. The Father knows me, and he knows that you believe in me. So he will respond to you so that your joy might be full. You understand what I'm saying? So just keep on going to the Father. As many times as you need anything, go again. Father, in Jesus' name, okay? The door will be open and you'll be happy. Then you need something again. Father, in the name of Jesus. You just keep going. So that's us. Keep asking. Just keep as many times as is possible. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Wow. Brother Emma, do you have any questions? Yes. Please, can someone give him the mic? Okay, hold on.
There are things that you have to pray about regularly. There are things, spiritual resources, like for God to give you revelation in the truth. I keep praying that prayer all the time. And that's my main prayer for everybody in this church. From children to myself, we pray, me and my wife, that's our main prayer. Because the reason we do the things we do is because of lack of what?
Revelation.
Lack of what? That's why we make bad choices. That's why we make bad choices. Because if you are limited by knowledge, you are going to make bad choices. And those bad choices will affect you. The main reason we perish is ignorance. So I pray that all the time. And I'm begging you, please, pray that prayer all the time. It will amaze you what God will show you. In the same Bible, you have what? Been reading. I'm not kidding. Then you pray that God will strengthen you what? In the inner man. Especially when you are confronting things that really, really challenges you. You ask God to strengthen you. You ask God to give you boldness. And if you are a Sunday school teacher, you need to ask God to give you utterance. Give you boldness. So that you teach accurately the word of God. You teach it accurately. You ask God to give you his word. It's very important. God, give me your word so that what I'm teaching is from you. And give me boldness and utterance so that I will present your word how accurately before the souls you love. You know. So there are prayers that are things you must be praying for all the time. That when it comes to personal issues, and Jesus said, what is your desire when you pray, believe that what you have received them, then it shall be yours. And then again, if you are praying for people, if you are praying for the church, it's a continuous thing. You are praying for the nation, it's a continuous thing. You are praying for the governor, it's a continuous thing. So there are things you have to repeat and keep repeating as long as you're a Christian, and as long as the Spirit is starting up in you. You pray for brethren, you pray for the pastors. You can't stop. You just keep doing that. Right? Huh? Huh? Is that okay?
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I just need clarity on something that's been bothering me. So if you're praying a prayer of supplication, right, and you know that you're being led by the Holy Spirit, now, is it okay to just talk talk within yourself, or just yell out your prayer? I had an experience back in college, and I'm not one that when I'm praying, I'm so loud and the whole world and somebody will hear me from 20 feet away. And all of a sudden, the guy will say, you should speak it out, yell. And I got a little confused after about 5 minutes. So I just need clarity on that, if what one is supposed to do, especially in that kind of situation.
Has God answered you when you prayed in your heart?
Yes.
Okay, then it worked.
Okay.
Yes, it worked. I mean, the main thing is to get the answer. I mean, if the Spirit prompts you to speak, you speak. If you are prompted, you do it in your heart. As long as you get the answer, that one, it proved it worked. There are things that I will have a strong desire in my heart. I don't even get to pray. I watch God move on my behalf. Because a lot of the things is just like, yes, God do want us to pray, as, you know, want us to speak to Him. But there are things, trust me, God sees your heart and automatically He just move on your behalf and answer. The most important thing is to get the answer. If what you are doing work, why stop?
I just want to elaborate for you, Ima, as well, to know that at the end of the day, it's the prayer of faith that get answered. The delivery system is different. Somebody might be yelling, but they are yelling in faith. Someone might be, you know, hitting things. That's their delivery system. But God is looking at faith. It's faith that get a response from God. So, and then also, you know, that there are groanings as well. Groanings also happen. So you know yourself, you know your relationship with God, but make sure that what you are doing is coming out of faith. And that's how you get it. You don't look at what other people are doing, but know that this is my relationship with God, and this is how we communicate.
Thank you. You all answered very, very correctly, but I want to also bring out something that I noticed. I think it's important for you to be yourself when you're talking to your father. Like she said, he prays within himself. I remember the way I knew prayers, you just come and you kneel down or you stand, but you keep quiet and you're praying in your heart. But, you know, I can't remember the group that I joined, and they were praying loud. And I realized that, I think for me, it was better for me to start praying loud, not to disturb and not to anybody's hearing or maybe disturbing anybody. But I realized that most times when I will keep quiet and I'm praying, sometimes I will doze off. So in order to keep alert, I was speaking out. So, but it's important for you to be yourself. I mean, the way you will normally communicate to anybody, God wants you to come just as you are. He doesn't want you, you know, like some people, they come and they're praying, oh Lord, thou that, you know, they start using a different tone, or maybe using some big vocabularies. You don't impress God by that. Like he said, faith. Make sure you're communicating to God and you're producing results. That's all that matters. Just be yourself. That's all I'm trying to communicate to us. Come the way you are. Say it the way you would normally say it in your bedroom with anybody that is very close to you. Be yourself. Okay? Don't start using a different kind of tone, intonation, and then when you are now communicating with other human beings, you come back to your normal room temperature. No, be yourself at any time. Amen? Amen. Thank you. You have a question? Okay, go ahead, Chibike.
Whenever I'm in school, I normally pray in my head. I normally pray in my head. Does it still count if I pray in my head? Like, I don't speak words or anything, like.
Absolutely, it counts, and I encourage you to keep doing it. Keep praying as much as you can.
Thank you. Do we have any other question? No. Here I have a list of misconceptions about prayer, and I'll have the panel answer this. The first one I have here is, I am a good Christian. I read the word. I am involved in church, and God has provided most of the things I need. Why is prayer so important? Should I repeat it? I am a good Christian. I read the word. I am involved in church, and God has provided most of the things I need. Why is prayer so important? Yeah. Can somebody help, please?
suggest?
My bad. I didn't know it was. I didn't realize it was one of my questions. So yes, you're a good Christian. You read the word. You're involved in church, and God has provided everything you need. Why is prayer so important? Can you hear me? Why is prayer so important? Prayer is a conversation with God. You know, your maker, your owner, the lover of your soul, everything that you are today, that you'll ever be, your past, your present, your future is in God. We can't navigate the affairs of this world without God. You know, you said that you're a good Christian. The goodness that you have, I don't know where you can get it if not from God. You know, you read the Word of God. Well, you know, reading the Word of God and studying and all of that, having that conversation as you're reading, you know, that is all part of prayer. You're involved in church, and, you know, God has provided for you. You know, He's your provider. You know, why is prayer so important? So I think it's the main thing is to move away again from where, like, you know, prayer is a task. Prayer is a thing you have to put on your to-do list and check it off. But, you know, the Spirit of God lives in the inside of us. So in everything that we're doing, like everywhere, anywhere we are, we could be sleeping as soon as we wake up, you know, anything that you're doing, you can continue to have a constant conversation with God. But prayer is so important because if you don't have that intimacy, if you don't have that connection to God, you will, John 14, that's where he was talking about the vine and the branches, and that we need to stay connected, we need to abide in Him. Having that constant conversation enables us to, to stay connected, and He will continue to guide you, will continue to give you direction, and you will prosper in everything that you do. You know, you will succeed in everything that you do. Whatever you lay, you know, whatever you're doing, it'll be very, very good. You know, you have good success. So, I mean, this is really, you know, the simplified, you know, answer. But everything that you are is because of God, and He loves you so much, and He craves actually our time. You know, we're created to worship Him. We're created to serve Him. We're, you know, one of the main reasons why Jesus came is to reconcile us to God, right? You know, He sent you Jesus so you can have a relationship, right? So, you know, you work on this relationship, you build on it, you make it to be very strong by constant conversation. That's all I have.
Thank you, Sister Jess.
Whoever wrote this thing is not a good Christian at all. I like it. Because he sees Christianity from of a view. He sees it from selfish, it's very carnal. Jesus looked at somebody like him and called him a fool. Because this man said, my barn is full, I have everything now to rejoice. And Jesus said, thou fool. When a man's vision is about himself, I got everything now. That man is not really a good Christian. He's not walking in the love of God. How can you come and even physically talking? Because you have graduated, you have good car, everything. You won't talk to your father. He said, what's the big deal talking to my father after I have everything? That's exactly what he said. When a child is behaving like that, something is what? Wrong. You say, because I have everything, why should I talk to my father? The father that brought you up gave you everything. And if you're a good Christian, there are a lot of things to pray about. How about praying that people be saved? How about praying for the nation? How about praying for the government? How about praying for your spiritual need? He only talks about physical need, but it's already decaying inside. Because if he communes with God and asks for revelation, God will show him the things to pray about. Jesus had everything, but he was praying. He was praying. And it's very important because the Bible commands us to pray. So if somebody thinks I am satisfied, I've gotten everything, why should I talk to God? That person is not a good Christian. In fact, he needs to go to my wife's Sunday school class and start again. Because if you really, really are led of God, there are a lot of need in this world that will keep you on your knees And it's part of what I'll be talking about on Sunday. What are the Nehemiahs of our time? You come to church, you see what is happening. You have a lot to pray in this church for 1 week, more than 1 week, if you really have the spiritual eyes. It's not about me. It's about the mind of God. Amen?
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I wanted to also comment on, this is really not a misconception of what people, you know. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. And Paul also, in his epistle, says, pray without ceasing. So I don't see somebody saying, my father gave me everything. When the father has already commanded you to pray without ceasing. So it's not a misconception at all. This person is lazy and not doing the will of God.
Thank you.
May I add something real quick? You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Sometimes the temptation is to just keep talking. If prayer is a conversation, it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. Pray without ceasing is that you talk and God talk. You talk and God talk. So it's a constant flow of communication. It's not a one-way street where you just get to dictate the flow of whatever you want to say. Because at the end of the day, what God has to say is far more important than the one you will say. So, yeah, yours is a problem, but his is always the solution.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Praise the Lord. You know, again, for a Christian, one of the things that also drive you to God is your love for Him. When you love somebody, you have to speak with them. You know, the love you have for God, when you, even if you think you've gotten everything, you look around and you see how loving God has been to you. That realization of His love towards you drives you to talk to Him. That His love towards you by providing you all this cannot drive you away from Him. That love that you felt from Him will always attract you to talk to Him.
Thank you. Ada?
Someone has a question.
Short. Yeah, very short. We have some more here. Thank you.
This question has always been on my mind. In James chapter 2, verses 14, it talks about faith and deeds. It says, what good is it, my brother, this is 14, and sisters, if somebody claims to have faith but has no deeds, right? And then it goes on. And then 24 says, you see that a person is, 22 says, you see that his faith and his actions were working together and his faith was made complete by what he did. And also Mark 11, 24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. I don't want to, for me, I have a hard time understanding how to reconcile just believing and what it means to have actions with the faith that you have. So can you guys kind of like elaborate on that?
Yes. The interesting thing about this question is this, you know, when Paul wrote this letter, one of the things that he was like highlighting, he was writing to Gentiles, but there was a culture at that time that Jews were also infecting Gentiles with laws. So he actually wrote to them to stay away from it. But what Paul is really saying, for instance, when you were a child, what happened? Your parents used to force you to go to school. But there is a time that you develop a belief that school is good, that you genuinely do it. What that belief that school is good produced the fact that you wake up in the morning to do it. So what Paul is really saying is that if your faith, if you indeed you say you have believed in Christ Jesus, that faith in Christ Jesus should produce an attitude in you that produces good works. But it's Christ at work in you that actually produces that good work. By you believing in Him, that good work comes out. Because that good work really is a sign that you really believe. But it's not something that you try to produce on your own will. No, it's something that the Spirit of God does what? Through you. If you really believe in Jesus, then the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. That love will compel you to pray for people. You will see need. You will understand that, yes, you know one thing? Let me pray for this person because this person has a need. People need to get saved because I don't want them to go to hell. That love, by virtue of you believing in Christ Jesus, will produce that you developing that time to pray for the person.
Praise
Thank
God.
You.
Praise God. Hold I on. Think.
Give me one
it's
second.
Not what yeah, we have another that's no. I don't have. I just want to say something about her question. That's not what she asked, though. She was. I mean, if I may get your question, she was trying to differentiate between faith with work and belief. Am I right?
If you're asking God for something, it says in James, like, faith without works, like, you have to do something. But then in Mark 11, it says, believe that you have received it and it is yours, right? So, like, what does that mean in a place of prayer? If you have asked God for something, just believing. Like, for example, if you ask God for healing, right? You know, like, just saying, God, like, I believe you have healed me, and that's it. Versus, you know, like, your leg is pinning you. You walk on the leg that is pinning. You get what I mean? Like, that's like stepping out in action versus saying, God, I just believe that you've healed me, and I'm just going to sit here. You know, like, how do you differentiate?
So let me try and help you. Maybe this might help you a little bit. When you are hungry, right, like right now when you are sitting there, when you start getting hungry, you start to do something, right? You might think about a pizza or ordering Chinese, right? Okay, so you think of a salad, right? You start thinking of a salad. That's what starts coming up to you, right? So that hunger is causing you to do something, right? Your body knows that, your body is sending a signal that there is hunger coming. And then now you're like, wow, I need to take an action. I'm gonna go do my salad, right? When you have faith, faith always produces an action. You can say, so let me give you an example. Let's say that you've prayed that, let me use this because I think in human terms it might make sense to you. You are at a job for 5 years, and all of a sudden you started getting this witness that I can do more. You started praying that, Father Lord, help me. I believe I can do more. You say, yes. And now you have this witness in your heart that you can do more. What do you do next? You go and apply for that senior position. That is faith. That is faith in action. That is works being, your faith now is moving. It's that same thing with that hunger. I'm hungry, but what happened? I start walking towards the pizzas, the salad store, right? I start walking toward, that's my faith in action, because why? I want to fulfill what I've seen, which is hunger that is coming to me. So when you start to pray, you start to have an inward knowing that, no, this is mine. So then, because it's yours, you start approaching it. I'll give you another example. I recall it about another spouse getting married to someone. If you know that God has revealed this to you, this is mine, what happens? You start now walking towards that thing. That is the faith that is being showed outwardly. You are not taking step to achieve that thing in the physical realm. You've received it already in the spirit, in your heart. Now you are now taking physically, because God is not going to walk for you. You have now walked, started a conversation with that person. Because why? The person says, why are you talking to me? Maybe you might be praise and worship and you go tap that person. I don't care their response. I don't care what they are going to tell me. Because why? I know that God said, you are mine. So I'm showing my faith. I am acting my faith out. So I hope you understand the contract. So that's an example. I just want to say to you that when you start to do those things, that witnessing, you've received it in the spiritual realm. Yes, it's true. But the physical realm requires action. It requires you moving.
Thank you.
Can I just add one
half,
thing?
Half.
No, I just want to get just one.
Are you sure?
I just wanted to
say something, please.
We have a lot of questions.
That same passage, when you read it, Paul will talk about the devil. He say even demons, they do what? They believe. But he's talking about, like, but guess what? That belief they believe does not what? Produce. So sometimes it's good to read the whole passage to get the better context of what the verse is saying. It's not just that one little tiny verse.
Thank you. We have one more. Just one more before we... One.
Sandra.
A question. Okay, go ahead.
All right, good evening, everyone. So my question might be a little controversial, but it's a serious question that I have. And just hear me out before we get to answer it. So my question is about that, I would say, African misconception about morning devotion, right? So growing up, your parents are really strict about that whole morning devotion, whether you're sleeping, whether you're not sleeping, whether you want to be there or not, you have to be there, and we're going to pray and read the Bible and then go about our day, right? So being a young person going through that, and you see it, you don't see the benefit. One, because you're tired. Two, you don't want to be there. Three, you don't understand. And then on the further part of the spectrum, you're living with people who practice that only on that time. So you don't see your parents reading the Bible. You don't see, I'm not saying mine, but I'm saying in general. You don't see them reading the Bible. You don't see them praying. You don't see them living that life. But then they're forcing you to live this ritualistic kind of practice that sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen, but it's like a morning, it has to be in the morning. You have to be there. So now my question is, what would you guys advise for families to be able to actually sit down, talk together, and actually build a healthy Christian lifestyle at home that doesn't revolve around that ritual of morning devotion? After we're done, everyone goes about their life, and then we do that again tomorrow, but you don't have to be interested in it.
Ever, you wanna take it?
I saw your hand. Our mommies and daddies.
You wanna take it? I mean, my response, you know, I mean, it will not be traditional, you know, meaning it won't. I'm not for, you know, you have to wake up every day at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. You know, at a specific time. Every family has a different schedule. You know, some people's mornings are very rough. You know, they wake, they have to catch a train, and this person has to be this person, and this person has to go to pre-K and all that stuff. So, from my it doesn't necessarily have to be in the morning. But as a family unit, it is. I know of a family where, like, Saturdays are very, you know, kind of like chill. They do the whole thing, praise and worship with the kids and all that. Oh, see, that makes sense. It's a good time, you know, where it's a good day to do that type of thing. So not to diminish, I mean, not to take away the importance of doing that. It is important to come together as a family to pray, to show the kids, you know, that it's good practice. And it's also a good time to learn from each other. As a family unit, it is very important to practice it. But you have to be, you know, you create a schedule that suits your family needs. That would be my piece.
Thank you.
Emera, did you?
I'm organized. I'm organized.
Praise God. So I think if there's one thing I can get from what you said, Sandra, it's about just doing the morning devotion as a routine. But it seems even after doing that routine, the parent still goes ahead to live a different kind of lifestyle. Because I believe the purpose of that morning devotion is really to bring the family together and stay as a family and pray. But there's going to be a problem when, even after doing that routine over and over again, then you live a different lifestyle after then. So the children may want to begin to see that as, oh, we are just being forced to do this and not even try to understand. I think that's where they might be a problem. So I don't know, maybe to parents or as parents, they should not want to just be doing that routine and then live a different lifestyle after that routine every morning.
One of the things that Sandra actually mentioned is that, like, saying that the child is sleepy, there's no sign of interest. One of the things that came to my mind during that time is actually the person that's actually sleepy. And what I've discovered as an adult, I used to hate sleep. I used to say, when I die, I'll sleep. But I've learned to understand the value of sleep. I understand that you need 8 hours. So if, as a parent, you want to pray with your children in the morning, you want them to be committed, reduce the time they stay up. If you send everybody to bed at 9, you trust me, you'll wake up around 5, 6-ish to do what's important. By doing it, they may not agree, but trust me, you're actually laying foundation. My parents, Listen, I used to be the guy, why we do this, why we do this. I got popped in the mouth a lot as a child. I asked 1,000 questions. But you know one thing I discovered is as I grew up, yes, I did, I got popped. Yes, what happened, as I grew up as a child, the more I grew up, I begin to understand the value of what they were doing. But until then, I didn't understand it. Listen, as a parent, it's not a popularity contest. Don't treat your family as if it has to go viral where you get liked on, like we do on Facebook. No, you're actually raising people that will change society. Training is difficult. So as a parent, you lay down the law. Yes, you have to live the life that you have to model a good life for the children. But part of it as well is saying, you know one thing, tonight, everybody's going to bed at this time. There is DVR now. If they miss a show, they can rewatch it. But you enforce that too as a parent. You give the time so they can wake up early to do it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have one important question we need to ask. Why do Christians suffer setback and defeat even after prayers? Brother Chris. Why do Christians suffer setback and defeat even after prayers? Mike, that's you.
So I think if I address this question, I think it happens a lot, right? It happens a lot when you ask for something, you ask amiss, you don't receive your petition, you don't receive your request. Before I answer this question, I'll say that again, really, my answer might not, you know, because of time, I might not be able to answer everything, but I want to tell you that if you are in that category, the things that we have in this church, the Thursday Bible study, the prayer ministry, Bible study, all these areas are avenues where you can learn these things so that you can be in a place where you can pray effectively and receive. So let me now answer the question. Setbacks. In prayer, we all know that prayer really works by faith. But faith only comes by hearing the word, understanding this word, having a revelation of the word, and then praying upon that revelation that you've had. So if there is any area of your life where you are lacking, you are not seeing results, number one is the issue is that you are deviating from the word of God. Your basis, where the places that you are basing your prayer, it's not, you don't really have a proper understanding of what you are requesting, or you don't have a proper understanding of what the word of God says concerning that topic or that thing that you are praying about. So that's one piece of it. The other piece of it is, you know, that prayer really is based on relationship. It's based on love. It's based on knowing what Christ has already accomplished for you. So knowing that righteousness is something that God gives for you freely, right? If you now do something, you commit sin, you have something that you've done evil, but you don't have a proper understanding of that, what happens is that you keep asking for forgiveness over and over. You keep wasting your time in doing that, in communicating that. So now what's happening? Because of your lack of understanding of what Christ has already offered you, you are now trying to achieve it by pleading in the place of prayer. Does that make sense? So there you go. That already is a setback. So number one is, really, if you don't have an understanding of the word, number one, you are never going to pray effectively. Number two, if you don't understand the relationship that you have with Christ, which is based on love, that Christ has already paid for these things for you, so now you are in a place of just entering into that place of love that Christ has given to you, you are always going to be asked amiss. You are always going to go in trying to please God, trying to show him that you are righteous. Try to show me that you deserve this request that you are asking. Does that make sense? So those are the two things that I will touch on. I believe that can at least help you, at least if that's your question, at least you cannot see the two areas that can be an issue. But I'll tell you that to better understand this, I'll advise that you either join the prayer ministry to have a better understanding, or continue to come to Thursday Bible study to understand these things, this simple precept. Amen.
I want to add one more thing for 30 seconds. One of the things is actually walking by sight. After you prayed, God hear you. Come on. But The interesting thing is walking by sight. That we do sometimes, we walk by sight. Once we see that the prayer wasn't answered automatically, or we have unbelieving friends who come and start saying something differently, the very thing that we were supposed to hold on to, sometimes we let go of it. Like Mike highlighted, the main thing to do is continue, keep hearing the word so your faith can stay at that level where you can receive the thing from God. And do not walk by sight. Stop focusing on the thing, focusing on the word instead. Because the moment you pray, God hears you. That's what the Bible says. But the interesting thing is that sometimes we tend to walk by sight, just like Peter did when he started looking at the storm instead of looking at Jesus Christ.
King James says, but let him ask what? Nothing. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think he shall receive what? Anything. When we read the things like this, we think it's not true. Think God is joking. When God tells you, you can't get anything from me if you are tossed. You know what is tossing you? It's what you are looking at. The devil is using it to toss. Today you're excited, tomorrow you're not. Things don't look like it's working. You start praying again. Say, God, you had me, tomorrow you start again. Look, let me tell us the truth. If you are not serious with the word of God, your spiritual success will be affected very, very severely. Extremely severely. Because you are going to do things presumptuously. Things you think it should be the way, but it may not be the way God prescribed it. For instance, Jesus said, if you want to succeed in prayer, he said, let my word do what? Then ask. Now, how many of us, when we pray, ever bother to find the word of God? And yet, that's what the Lord said. He said, if my word is in you and you abide in me, they ask anything, they will walk. Because the basis of faith is what God has what? Said. So God, you can't be going around and say, I'm not sick. You find your doctor quick. That's not faith. That's not faith at all. You can't be going around and say, I'm not sick. That is not faith. It's not faith. Faith is saying, God says so and so, and I believe what God has said. I base it on what God said. If you go to pray, you must have a scriptural foundation on which you base your expectation. Otherwise, the devil will hit you after that prayer, because there's no foundation, your faith, you do like this. There has to be something you're anchoring your expectation upon, and it has to be what God has said. I can't say it enough. We keep teaching it here and over. I don't know how many of you care to listen. Don't care to listen. But it's affecting you. It's affecting you. So that's why I said, when you come to Bible studies, please make effort to understand. When you come to church, make effort to what? Also understand. And the issue of righteousness, if you are not grounded in it, your faith will be difficult to walk. Very, very. Because the devil will attack you the other day. Praise the Lord. Let's rise up and worship the Lord a little bit. Before we go, we are done.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.